Blog Talk Radio.
Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with the fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judge written in this place. Unto all his saints, praise ye the Lord. Let everything, we mean everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. Praise him, for he is worthy of honor. He is worthy of glory. He is worthy of all honor and praise. And truly I say, I was glad when they said unto me, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's why we're going to go into his presence with singing and know that the Lord, he is God. And that he has made us and not we ourselves. And truly we know that it is a glorious and victorious day it is, another day that the Lord has made. On this glorious and victorious Sunday, yes it is, November the 6th, 2016, you've tuned in to Manna from on High, where God gives us his very best because he desires greatness within his people. And because we are his people, we are the sheep of his pasture. We represent the kingdom of heaven upon the earth. That's right. And we have to live the example so that the world may see and know that our God is an awesome God. Our God is a great God. He's a wonderful God. He rules from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. And let me tell you something. If there was ever a time that mankind needed to know the relevance of God's presence, that time is here and now. That's right, because as the songwriter said, that these are the times that try men's soul. People just don't care. They're just so careless and so cold. But one thing we know, and this one thing is true, if we take but one step, he will take two. And it's time for us to get it together and to get back on the firing line. I know many of us have experienced the very tumultuous occurrences of life, disappointments, disillusions, heartache, heartbreak, frustration, anxiety. But you know what the Lord told us in his word? Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. That's right, because he cares for us. He has set his hand in our favor. He has raised us up from the dunghill and has set us amongst kings and princes because he is the Almighty. That's right. And when we say Almighty, we mean that he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and omnipresent. That's right. And because he is, we also shall be. For we are more, as Apostle Paul said, than conquerors through him that loved us. And let us say amen or give witness and affirmation and say amen again. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that it's so. And we read earlier for your listening consideration and your soul's inspiration the 149th division of the book of Psalms, the book of singing poetry. That's right. And it's a good thing to sing praises unto the Lord, but nothing can ever replace or reconstitute the power of God's word. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. That's right. And our singing is like the dessert that's on the serving table. The dessert is very, very appeasing to the eyes and tantalizing to the palate. But we know that we cannot live off desserts alone. We have to have the meat. We have to have the starch, and we have to have the vegetables. That's right, for man shall not live by bread alone. That's right, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The bread is a very delectable and tantalizing appetizer on the table, but guess what? The bread is not the meal. The bread is not the meat. The bread is part of a starch, but it is not as noteworthy as the other formulations of starch, and it is not the vegetable. We still have to have a well-rounded spiritual life. That means consecration, prayer, fasting, meditation, and most of all, the reading of the Word of God. That's right, because see, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can divide asunder. Can you imagine this? You know that you have bone, and inside your bone, the encasement, the parchment of the bone, we have marrow. Marrow is like the meaty-type substance in the bone that gives it us the ability of fluidity. It gives us the ability of mobility. It gives us the fluidity of character and of structure and of stature. So that's why, so the Word of God is that apparent and that powerful. It can separate the bone out of the marrow. It can cut through bone and separate it from the marrow. That lets you know it's very important. So many people, and this is the word of knowledge. I don't know who we're talking to on whatever continent you're on, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty there. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, everywhere, beholding both good and evil. And he knows who you are and where you are. You know, there are so many people that are truly Bible-believing Christians. They're Bible-believing Christians. But you know what's wrong in this day and time? This is revelatory knowledge. They're starving. They're spiritually malnourished. You know why? They're allowing the world to dictate to them how to live, how to believe, how to walk, how to talk, how to dress, and how to do, as opposed to letting the Word of God lead them and guide them in the affairs of their life and the mannerism of their character and their abilities and their capacities to do what is right. And this is the reason why we have so many spiritually malnourished Christians. A spiritually malnourished Christian is a weak Christian. That's why you can't stand for anything, because you're sitting down and allowing the world to tell you what you must do, how you must do. You must conform, conform, conform. God is not a God of some formality. That's right. He's a God of salvation. He is a God of empowerment. He's a God of wisdom. He is a God that's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And we possess those characterizations when we walk in the light of the truth. We don't have to be subjugated to the damnable heresies of this world. We don't have to compromise who we are in order to fit in. We don't have to sit up and try to figure it out, because God will already work it out when we walk in the spirit of obedience. And you're tired of trying in your own strength. You become weary. You become wanton. You become waxed and weak and uncaring, because you know why? You feel like life has nothing else to offer you. You know why? Because you're living life from the external to the internal. No, we must live as Christians from the internal to the external. That's right. The spirit man has to be fed in order to nurture you and nourish you, so that when you go into the world, you're carrying the authoritative measure of the kingdom of heaven with you to conquer the world. Remember what our Messiah said, and he said, "Behold, I am the victory. I am the victory that overcometh this world, even your faith." That's right. So this is the reason why there's so many weak Christians. This is the reason why so many people are walking around with their heads hung down and say that they know the Lord, Because why? They're allowing the world to tell them how to worship, how to do, how to conform, conform, conform. No, God is not a God of conformity. God is a God of supernatural. I love that term, supernatural ability, which supersedes the ability of mankind to use rationale, philosophy, logic, and reasoning. This is the God that we serve. He's waiting to work the miracles of his power, of his omnipotence, of his omniscience, and of his omnipresence through us, with us, in us, and by us if we submit, 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 submit. That's right, to the higher powers of God. This is why he said, that's right, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, will, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. For he that humbles himself shall be exalted, and he that exalts himself shall be made abased. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I first hear from heaven, forgive their sin. He'll forgive us of our backslides, of our disbelief, because disbelief is sin. And heal the land. I mean, heal all those things concerning you, whether it's family, whether it's relationships, whether it's finances, whether it's your body, whether it's your workplace, maybe your place that you go and congregate and worship. Everything concerning you, he said he'd heal the land. This is why the manifesto of the healing has not taken place. People are doing vice versa. We're going back to college and getting more education, but the social ills are acclimating. They're becoming more extensive, more extreme. We're going through the self-improvement steps to make our lives better, but situations around us continue to permeate and get worse. There's a message. There's a method to the madness. We're doing everything we can within our power by going to counseling so that we can become more balanced and harmonious, but nevertheless, more confusion and catastrophe is taking place. There's a message in the madness. God is saying, come back to me. Come back to your first love. Repent, repent. Stop idolizing the deeds of man, personalities, individuals. You're following them, but you're not following Jesus Christ. You're not following the way, the truth, and the life. You're not studying the word. You're studying textbooks. You're studying self-help manuals. You're studying counseling guides, but you're not studying the word. Study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why he says, come back to me. Come back to your first love, the original place in which you met me. That's right. And then when you come back, the love will be even greater because you realize that this world holds no gratification. It holds no sanctity. This world is a confusing place. And when you go out in it, you have to have the power of God's presence and his anointing in your vessel to conquer, to wage war against the very elementations of this society. And we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. That's right. And holding every thought into captivity, into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's right. That's the name given above every name, because it's at his name that every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Every condition, every circumstance, every situation, every individual. That's right. We must utilize the authority and the name of Jesus Christ. And when we come back to arriving at our first love, we can do these things. We can allow the very anointing of God, which breaketh the yoke, to do these miraculous and meticulous things. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you something. God is waiting. God is waiting for you. He is waiting for me. He is waiting for all of us to come back to the first love, where we can receive the effervescence Oh, yes, the effervescency of his power, of his anointing, of his presence, so that we may break down the petitions of the enemy. That's right, and hold him hostage, hold him captive, and use the name of Jesus to beat him to death. Every negative situation, every negative force, the blood of Jesus covers us. The love of God enfolds us. Oh, hallelujah, bless his holy name. But we've got to come back to the first love, back to where we belong, repenting, being humble, being submissive to the will of God, saying, God, if it's your will or not, let me hear your voice. You speak to me. He said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. Oh, praise his holy name on this Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day. Well, we're taking this time out to give him praise, to give him honor, to speak his word, to read his word, to consecrate ourselves against the very foul, epitomizing circumstances of this world. This world, in case you don't know it, you look at the very anomaly of the events that are happening. This world is taking itself to hell. That means this society is dragging itself to hell because it refuses the knowledge of God. It refutes the wisdom of God. It adversifies the revelation of God. And that's why the curse continues to fuel itself. But to those of us who abide under the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, under the blood of Jesus, we are immune. We are protected. We are consecrated. We are elevated. We are illuminated because we carry his name. And God takes care of those that bear his mark. Trust me, he will destroy countries based upon his people. He will wipe out individuals based upon the obedience of his people. Oh, he will destroy circumstances and situations that attempt to confront us because we're his people. God takes care of his own. That's right, but we must go back to our first love. That's right, that first love is a special love. That was a time of celebration as well as exaltation. Why? Because everything was so special then. And this is what God indeed wants from his children once more. So praise you, the Lord. God bless you for joining us on this Lord's Day, a day of great new beginning. Some of you are going to begin a new path in your life. That's right, now that the revelational word has come forth, that God has spoken through the witness of the Holy Spirit, has used me as a vessel to tell you what's wrong in your life. Now, happy be ye. You take this word, you take this word of knowledge and run with it and get back into that divine favor of God by going back to that first love. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you praise him. Tell him how much you thank him for what he's already done and what he's going to do. That's right. Oh, just watch the miraculous happen. Oh, my goodness. You're talking about prayers going to be answered this week? Divine miracles are just going to take place. They're taking place now. It's even as we're speaking. That's why me and the Holy Spirit. That's why, because he is the third personage in the Holy Trinity. That's why. And we don't know anything of ourselves on the spiritual realm except the Holy Spirit give it to us from God the Father. That's right, who beloved us so that he gave his only begotten Son, who was our Savior, our shield, our buckler, our high priest, our Messiah, our Savior, who took on the sins of this world to redeem us from eternal separation. So now that we abide in him, we are in divine favor with him, and we are a part of that heavenly family here on this earth. He's not going to take us off the earth. He leaves us here to be a testimony of his omnipotence. Amen. You're talking about waiting on these miracles to happen. I'm waiting on mine right now. Are you? That's right. I'm lifting my hands to heaven and saying, Father God, I praise you. Father God, I love you. I acknowledge you. I give reverence to you. Thou art reverent. Thou art the only reverent because thou art God, and beside you there is none other. I thank you for the divine miracles that are falling now through manna from on high to every listener, to every devotee, to every child of God who is seeking to please you, that you cast down every evil petition set against your people. Every weapon formed against us, destroy it, Father God, Yeshua. Father God, God, I'm asking that divine favor fall, that the very miraculous interventions of heaven begin to take manifesto from this moment, that financial breakthroughs, that's right, will happen for those who are listening, who have their hands open and their hearts made awry. Oh, Father God, I'm asking that divine deliverance to those who are being oppressed by evil presences that are speaking to them, attempting to get them to go diverse in the manner in which they walk, that, Father God, you would deliver them. That's right, take away the very elementation of that evil out of their households, out of their minds. You said, Lord, you would keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. Oh, Father God, I'm speaking the words of knowledge that you would go into those bodies who are suffering those diverse conditions that are causing their lives to be compromised, their abilities to function, to be brought down to such a level that they cannot operate. Father God, thou art the divine and wonderful physician that healeth every patient. And Father God, I'm asking that you go into those bodies and make those joints and those organs anew, that they will function like they've never functioned before. And Father God, I'm speaking to those who are brokenhearted, those who are weighing down concerning the affairs of the world and things that have happened to them in times past. Give them peace, for we know the Prince of Peace, and he is the peace that conquers all understanding. Let it rule their minds and their hearts. And to everyone that is ascribing to please you, give us that double portion of thy anointing, as Elijah, the prophet of the whirlwind, had. He was so anointed under your presence that, Lord, he couldn't even die, that you just took him on the windstorm. Oh, Father God, we're asking that divine treasure beyond earthly measure fall upon your people in this Shekinah glory season. That's why with the latter rain, the third level of the rain, caused the sprawl to happen. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we thank you. Let us say amen. And we praise you for the Lord's presence being amongst us this morning. We're going back to the book of Hebrews, as we concluded a few weeks ago, talking about the institution of faith. That's right. And let me tell you something. Faith is that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's right. And so in knowing these things, we know that in faith, that's why some things we cannot measure and control, so we have to go in faith. We have become blinded to everything around us and focus in on who God is, his past performance record, and relevant to what he is doing in the here and now. And by faith, that's why some things you're not going to be able to even predict. That's why you're not seeing faith. Through faith, you know what? You can somewhat forecasting, but predictions means that, you know, you automatically know. By faith, you can say, you know what? I look at what God has done for those who came before me. Read the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and you will see these things relevant to what we're saying. And you know what? And with faith, that means you've got some credentials. You have some things in your camp. But see, with faith accompanied with what you have, you're talking about the dunamai, the most impossible things will and can happen. So you can't do without faith, whether it's in faith, through faith, by faith, or with faith. You can't do without it. Faith is like the eggs in that cake. You can make a cake without eggs, but guess what? When you cut it, it's going to fall apart. Faith is what keeps you balanced in your spiritual life. You can't receive anything without it. It's just that simple. It's just that simplistic. And that's why we must continue on in the work. Now let us pick up on the by faith. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. The heirs with him of the same promise. Well, what are they talking about? Go to the A first. It's talking about Abraham. He was Abram. But see, through faith, Abraham, the father of the multitude. That's right. He went into a strange land after God spoke to him and told him that he would be the father of the faith system. that he would be. Remember, kept in everlasting remembrance. You know, our Messiah is referred to as the seed of David and the son of Abraham, the son of David, seed of Abraham. It all equates to the same thing. He kept God's promise. God saw something in Abraham that really ignited him. He called him his friend. When God, we know that God is our friend, but when God refers to you as his friend, you have something very in you that God acknowledges. Forget about the world. It's about what God says and knows about you. He conquered the world. Jesus Christ conquered this world, our Messiah. So the world is not a footstool. We command it. But we've got to walk according to our faith, be it unto us. So what happened was that he sojourned to a land that he knew nothing about, but he rested on the fact that by faith he had the position, he had the posture. Now can't you see this coming together? He went and possessed the land. That's right. He possessed the land. That's right. And as a result of possessing the land, when he went and he tried to tell the people that God's wrath is kindled against you, what happened? That because he went by faith, he knew who he was, he had the credentials, he had the credibility, he possessed that land. He was given precedence. He was given dominance. So you see, by walking by faith will give you, it will give you victory, it will give you substance, and give you sustainability. After you received your substance, then people will acknowledge that there is definitely a difference within you. If they had to acknowledge with Abraham that there was a difference in him, that's right. For he looked for a city which had what? Had foundations, whose building was what? Made by God. Or its maker is God. So he knew that God had something far better for him. Yes, he had all the sheep. Yes, Abraham had all the recognition. Yes, he had wealth. Yes, he had the very soundness of his character exemplified and exonerated, and people would acknowledge him. But he knew that he was representing God, and that it was far greater than what he could put his hands upon, what his mouth could even speak. He said, for what? Through faith. Now, here's the, we're going from by faith, but he had the credentials, okay? So he didn't have to do much, but allow God to give him the manifesto in where he was. But now here we talked about the institution. I said to you, through faith, okay? See, through faith means that circumstances don't look good. Are you writing this down for the record? Through faith, that means you've got to experience odds against you, things not set in your favor. So it's only through, when you tunnel, when you face the obstacles, the adversity, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Let me break that down where you can understand. See, I told you about by faith and in faith. Now here, all the obstacles set against her. Here was a woman that when she, in her younger days, she was barren. She could not conceive. She had did the unthinkable. She asked Hagar, which was her maid, to lay with her husband Abraham and to bring forth a seed, because she perceived to the fact that she couldn't have children. And as a result, Hagar brought forth Ishmael. That's right, a man of the Middle Eastern nation. Well, Sarah, being young at that time, she felt envious that here I am married to this man whom God gave as my husband, Abram, and God changed his name to Abraham, father of the multitude. Here I am, his wife, cannot bear seed, cannot bear record to his lineage. I had my handmaiden to lay with him. She brought forth a child, a handsome young man. And now she is the apple of his eye. Even though he loves her not and loves me, I feel empty. For there was a spirit of jealousy that began to race through Sarah. And she had Hagar removed along with Ishmael. There was divine purpose in that. Because nevertheless, Ishmael and his mother yet prospered because God's hand was set. Because why? That was Abraham's son as well. Many might say, well, you know what? Sarah still didn't have a child. No, but see, through faith, okay, the odds did not look good. The circumstances did not seem right. But God had mercy upon Sarah and visited her at the age of 90. See, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is as one day. God had mercy upon her, and he opened up her womb and caused her to conceive a child in her old age. And I know the medical professionals will say it's impossible for a woman of 90 years of age to conceive a child. And God's supernatural frequency of existence is not. God specializes in the impossible. And she bore forth a child. That's right. And this child became a great blessing unto all those who came in his presence. That's right. So she bore forth a child through faith. She had to face the adversity. She had to face the adversity of herself. That's right. But when she did, look what God did. And sometimes God allows us to face adversities and obstacles as a way of confirming, of validating his presence and his abilities with us and through us. And that's what she did. She held on to her belief. And look what happened. She bore forth a child, a miraculous child that is indeed. Therefore, the 12th verse says, sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the what? As the sand which is by the sea shore, immeasurable or innumerate. So what is he saying here? He's saying, Abraham, your seed will spring forth a great and mighty nation through that seed. That's right. Through Sarah, through Abraham, would the very nations of the earth be blessed. Because why? He had confidence. That's right. That's right. And knowing who God was. That's right. And so in knowing who God was, his children were blessed. His children multiplied exceedingly. They prospered. That's right. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Listen to that. The three, you think about it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew boys. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God often does the multiplicity by three. Okay? 13th verse. These all died in faith. That means that they left this temporal existence in faith. Now, what does it mean in faith? Now, see, we see by faith, that's the venue. Through faith, you got to experience some tumultuous circumstances on your faith. But in faith, that means you're operating on another frequency. That's like the in faith, you become blind to everything around you. What people say, what they're doing, you're totally oblique. An obliterate of everything that's in your accompaniment. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. You see, they knew that that time of redemption, that Isaac, the son of Sarah and of Abraham, would manifest a great and mighty nation. And were what? What did they do? I'm waiting on you. And we're persuaded of them. When you're persuaded of something, you're influenced. You have decadence. You have no reason to doubt of them and embrace them and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That means that Abraham and Sarah knew that with all the blessings that God gave them, the divine favor that God had instituted in their lives, that they were his workman pieces, that they were not of themselves. They realized that God gave them things for their intimate pleasure, but they realized that they had a much more extensive level of calling and existence in their life other than the temporal molds and provisions that were given to them. What does the next verse say? For they say such things, declare plainly that what? That they seek a country. That's right. That means that the place that they were destined to was much better than what they had upon the earth. And they knew that upon departure that they would go to that place. They knew paradise existed. Abraham and Sarah knew that heaven existed. And they just knew that this was the stepping ground. So this was the preparation stage and phase of their true identity to get them to where they needed to be. But now, they desire what? A better country. And they did. And God prepared that city. Many say the city of Zion, paradise, for those who love him. And they knew that. They knew they were in the preparational stages and phases of getting there. So this is why God leaves us in the world. He didn't save us and sanctify us and take us up to heaven. No, he left us in the world to be a testimony because he knew the end of days, the end time of man's civilization was up and coming foremost. And that our faith would be that guiding parameter that we would draw men unto God the Father by witness of the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because why? The world would become dark. When we talk about the world becoming dark, many people think that that means that the sun will not shine anymore. That means that the sun will refuse and refuse to give its light. No, the light inside of men's hearts will become darkened, disdained, dehumanized, demoralized. Men will become lovers in themselves, proud, hateful, boasters. That's right, haters of them that would do good. And as a result, they would devour and eat one another without having the opportunity to come to the knowledge of God's power, coming to the acknowledgement of his existence, and coming to the acknowledgement of knowing Jesus Christ, our Lord, as their personal Savior, and they would have no knowledge of the Holy Spirit. This is the reason why God left us here. So many times we look at the things around us and we experience so many disappointments and say, well, why am I still here? Why me? Because there's a purpose in your existence. And when you and I let go of what we have, God gives us what he has. And that's what he's teaching us. We endure this hardness as a good soldier because who the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And this is what he's doing, chastises, as he even chastens those whom he loveth, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. The 17th verse says, by faith, Abraham, when he cried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises offered up to only desire, but to offer up his only son. And listen at this. In the 17th verse. Now listen. Now here we see God the Father, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, here was Abraham. After all the years that his wife had been barren, finally gave birth to Isaac. That's right. And here God tests him to see his diligence. Will he be willing to submit to the will of God? And here Abraham, the confirmation is what? By faith, he says, if God said, do it, I've got to do it. He was willing to offer up his son. That's right, because of his due diligence, God honored him and blessed him with a restoration of numerous years upon the earth because God gets glory out of his children that please him. He wants to see them on the earthly plane because he sees us through the eyes of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Lord. And as a result, Abraham was blessed even the more. His seed extended not only to that generation and the generation after, but perpetually even to this present day. Because why? He validated and proved God in his life. How can you prove God? By walking by faith and not by sight. Now, by sight, he would say, now here, Lord, I was all these years. My wife didn't have a child. I have another son by an Egyptian handmaiden. Don't know where he is. He's a man of the wild. He's going about his own ways. As a common man, here I waited all these years to bring forth the promise to my wife. You want me to murder my son? What kind of God would ask me to do that? He didn't question. He just knew that God was great and that God's word had to be honored, and he was willing to do it. God was not going to allow him to do that to Isaac, but he was testing his diligence, and he passed the test. And here is the 18th verse, on whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Wow. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a thicket. By faith, bless Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. See, by faith, that means you have to relinquish all that you think for what God has proven. Go beyond what the world says and obey what God says. Don't do as according to what the world would do. Do as what God requires. And in doing so, we will be blessed. See, by faith causes the supernatural